This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Adrienne Hill. For the last 4 weeks, we've been covering the basics of personal finance, how to save money, where to invest it, and today we're wrapping up with a lesson in credit and debt. To take us through the do's and don'ts of borrowing money and paying it back is Luis Barajas. He's a personal finance expert and a financial advisor. Hi, Luis. Welcome back.
Hey, Adrienne. How are you?
I'm good. So I want to start with the basicest of basic questions, and that is, when is debt good debt? When does it make sense?
Well, there are a lot of people on radio, television telling you that you should get rid of all your debt.
Right.
And that's not true. I think that there are people around the world who are coming out of poverty because of using debt. People who are coming out of communities like me that came out of a barrio that borrowed money to go to college to get good, careers going and making good money. It's focusing on how you're spending the money and how it's going to leverage you to actually make more money in the future, whether it's going to be buying investments, investing in yourself, and investing in your career, like education.
So is there a way to sit down and look at a debt or a potential debt and say, yes, this is good debt. Yes, this is bad debt. Is it always clear?
It can be clear. Again, if you've got your vision and your values in order and you've prioritized them, and then you take a look at how you're spending your money, then you can see, this debt's going to help me move forward. But if you're buying that, I'm not picking on, the Coach purses, or you're buying Louis Vuitton purses or certain shoes that you think it's going to give you status, and it's not really, it's just putting you in more debt, that's not good.
So I want to move right on to Adam and Emily. They're in Austin, Texas. They're with us now. Adam and Emily, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Hello. Thank you.
So you all blog, right, about working your way out of debt at a website called Blogging Away Debt. How's it going so far?
It's going good so far. We're about 3 years into a 7-year journey, and it's getting to the very long and arduous part.
What do you mean by that, Adam?
7 years is a long time to be paying off debt. I think we're ready to be done with it, but we still have about 4 years to go.
You know what happens? People go into debt and they actually put together a plan. And it's like anything else. It's like a diet.
Right.
Right. At first, you're very enthused. You cut all the carbs out. You exercise every day.
You love it.
But after a year, you're craving a slice of pizza. We kind of have to give ourselves a cheat day or a way to kind of go out and not feel guilty about getting the Starbucks and spending on money that it's okay. And so otherwise, you're not going to keep it long term. And so I think that that's what's going on with you guys. It might be that you're already into it and maybe you need to go back and refocus and take a look at your vision, your values. I've done this for so long that I know that people within 3 years, it's can be overwhelming.
So tell me, how much debt are you in? How much debt did you start with? And what's the process been like?
We started with about $177,000 in debt. Most of it's school debt over three different degrees. And so far, we've paid off almost $60,000. We have about $112,000 to go.
And Emily, what's the process been like of paying it down the last couple of years?
Well, we've been on a budget the whole time since we've been married. So that, I think, makes us more creative. We spend a lot of time thinking about our purchases, so we're not making so many impulsive purchases, which I like. It can feel kind of suffocating to have this weight over your head that you have so much debt left to pay off.
When you say it feels suffocating, what do you mean by that?
I guess when I was a kid, I thought I would grow up and have this really adventurous life and do all these amazing things. And we have had a lot of adventures, but we kind of have put some things on hold that we'd like to do until we can pay off our debt. And that feeling that you're not having what you want because you need to pay off the debt, it can get kind of, like I said, suffocating.
You know what happens a lot of times is couples sometimes have different money personalities.
Mm-hmm.
One person is a saver, even out to the type A personality will save everything. Another person likes to spend a little bit more. And sometimes when you go on these kind of budgets, the conflicts start to arise after a few years. Have you guys found that that's been happening in your relationship or no?
We always knew that we were really different in a lot of ways, not just about the budget or the debt. So far, I think Adam's been kind of managing how we do it, and he's doing a great job. I'll give him that. He's definitely type A. He's wonderful. But yeah, we still disagree.
And so, Adam, are you the one that's really sort of making sure everyone sticks, that you guys stick to the rules and stick to the plan?
Yeah, I try to make sure we stick to the plan. I haven't been that great in recent months about making sure that we're on a strong budget, but we have made our debt payments. And when we aren't on a budget, then it just constricts what else we can do. But we have stayed to our debt plan, and we're making good progress.
You got 4 more years left on your debt plan. What are you looking forward to? How are you going to spend all that money that you're spending paying down that debt? Are you going to have fun? Is there a big prize after you're done? What are you looking forward to? Because if you've lost sight of that, then it becomes drudgery, right?
You know, one thing I think is that we're both looking forward to traveling more. We live about halfway across the country from most of our family and friends. There's also a minor league ballpark around here where you can rent a pool deck and have 50 people come and watch a ball game and swim in the pool. We're thinking about doing that.
And how often do you talk about it, the end?
Oh, my gosh. So much.
Really?
Because, yeah. I mean, you know, all the adventurous stuff that we both like to do that we're kind of keeping on hold right now, that's what keeps us going.
And I think we're also interested in having a little bit more freedom about how we choose to pursue different jobs or careers, that we don't have to be shackled to a certain type of career or path because we're trying to pay down debt.
And do you give yourself sort of those little life pleasures that Lewis mentioned? Do you allow yourself sort of moments where you maybe buy a nice dress or get a cup of coffee?
We'll go out to a nice dinner.
Yes, I do. Adam's infinitely more disciplined than I am. And I like all of the tiny things that make you happy, coffees, that kind of stuff. That's totally me.
And what do you think, Lewis? Should there be room when you're paying down a big debt like this for those moments?
I absolutely say, you know, money is a tool to live a better quality of life. And again, life is short. You never know when life is going to end, right? And so it's important right. to kind of keep an eye on the future and eye on the present and then also enjoy life at the same time. And those are simple pleasures will keep you going. But at the same time, take a look at the comprehensive financial planning, not just at the debt. Are you putting any money for emergency reserves where you don't have to go back into debt? You know, are you putting money away into a retirement plan through your jobs? So take a look at the other areas of your finances and not just focus singly on just one thing.
Are there any questions you guys have for Lewis about your own debt or budgeting or sort of your next four-year plan?
We have, we paid off our credit card debt and all of our smaller debts. Now we're just facing that amount that we said in student loan debt. So my first question is, should there be a difference in how we go about paying off the debt because it's student loan and not credit card debt? And then my second question is, how fast should we pace our payoff plan? Right now we're kind of, you know, we have 4 years left to pay off, what he said, over 100,000. Do we need to go faster or should we kind of like kick back and relax for a bit? What do you think?
Well, the first thing is you always want to do is pay off the debt with the highest interest rate first. Secondly, is if that you stop eating and move into your car, you can get this thing paid off in the next year. But that's not going to be fun. You know, make sure that you're working together as a team. And even though Adam wants to get it paid off in 4 years, realistically, it may not work out because I don't want the marriage to suffer. What's more important than anything here is your relationship with each other. Every study shows that having a great marriage or a great relationship is what keeps you wealthy over the long term. So if it's putting too much pressure on the marriage, stretch it out for another year. If it's, you know, putting extreme pressure, stretch it out for a couple more years. If you guys are doing great together, then stay on the pace you're on right now.
What do you guys think is your next step?
And well, that's another question we have, actually. We're starting to talk about starting a family. And one thing is we're totally naive in this area. We don't know anything about how we should be planning for that financially and preparing.
Well, the very first step is focus on creating a budget of what expenses that you might incur that you're not even thinking of. I know Adrian here has had a baby over the last year.
And it's expensive.
And it adds up very quickly. Diapers, formula, you know, daycare.
Yeah,
I mean, it adds up. And so what you should do is create, you know, I use this, what I call the world's greatest budget, where I throw everything in the mix. But it's really important that you write down and talk to other parents and find out what costs that you might not even be thinking about, because they'll come into the mix. And then at the same time, you might not be able to pay down your current debt. And so you may have to extend that out. And then again, take a look. You know, one of the things that people need to understand is that Adam and Emily are paying down school debt mostly. Mm-hmm. They don't have a lot of personal debt where they've abused money or you know, being compulsive spenders on things that they don't need.
So Adam and Emily, good luck to you both. We so appreciate it. We've got a link to your website, which is Blogging Away Debt. It's at our website, marketplacemoney.org. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Lewis, I'm going to have you sit tight. We'll be right back to you with more questions about credit and debt.
You got it.
Marketplace Money is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com.
This is Marketplace Money from APM. My guest this hour is financial planner Luis Barajas, and we're chatting about credit and debt on the show today. And Luis, there was some big news in the credit world this week, an $18 million settlement between a woman in Oregon and Equifax. Tell us the story.
Well, this woman pulls out her credit report and finds out that she's got a lot of stuff on there that's not correct. So she contacts Equifax, lets them know, creditors, and nothing gets done and does everything by the book. I mean, just does it over a long-term period. And then nothing happens. And so she sues them and ends up winning unprecedented $18.6 million. Can you believe that? This is going to actually open up the doors to a lot of people going after the three credit agencies out there, like Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion, if they're not really taking care of business and helping the consumer.
Now, if you do see an error in your credit report, what should you do?
Well, you instantly need to file a dispute with the credit agency and the creditor. By law, within 5 days, once a credit agency gets it, they have to go to the creditor and find out what's going on. And then they've got to get back to you, again, by law, within 30 to 45 days. If they don't get back to you within 30, 45 days, they wipe it out. I mean, it's almost like going to traffic school, getting a ticket and the cop not showing up. You're hoping that they don't do anything so they can remove it.
And I guess after an $18.6 million settlement, these companies might be quicker to make some changes, huh?
Well, the problem is that they're not on top of it, and they really got to be, again, more consumer friendly and help people out, because your credit score and your credit report is everything to your future. Basically, it's your financial reputation.
I want to now move to a question we got from a listener. Justin in Bloomington, Indiana wrote, I keep seeing credit cards advertising no interest for 6 months if you're able to pay off the balance. And this seems like a great option as an alternative to taking out a loan for an unforeseen expense like a big car repair, something like that. He says, if I were to take out a credit card and put $1,200 on it and pay off $200 a month for 6 months, would this have a negative effect on my credit score?
No, the negative effect would be if you actually pay the payment late.
Okay.
Okay, so ideally what you want to do is don't just pull out a credit card at, you know, for $1,200 and then go buy something you don't need. So use it for something that you do need. Try not to max it out and then work it over the six-month period and pay it completely off. And all of a sudden you're going to see your credit score move up, actually. It's a great strategy, to be quite honest.
So now I want to move to someone else we have on the phone with us. It's Carrie Smith of Dallas, Texas. She's the author of the blog Careful Sense and is with us now. Hey, Carrie.
Hi.
So I understand that you have actually worked your way out of a pretty big debt. Tell us your story.
Yes, I did. I started with about $14,000 of consumer debt. It was a car loan and some credit cards. And it took me about 14 months of working really hard and being super disciplined to become debt-free.
During the last 14 months, I imagine there were sort of high points and low points.
Yes. At the beginning, my original payoff debt date was 2 years. So I was able to get some really good momentum and really focus on my goal and pay it off within 14 months instead. The way that I did that was because I didn't have much of a social life, and I really focused on my spending plan. I didn't really like to call it a budget. and then I worked an extra job. So to distract myself from the fact that I didn't really, you know, see my friends and family and go out and party or anything, I just worked a ton.
Now, how old are you?
I'm 28.
Yeah. Carrie, this is Luis. And what I'm thinking about is just you're so young. And what inspired you, or what lit the fire to just say, I'm going to focus on getting this debt paid off?
Well, actually, I got married when I was really young, and I ended up getting divorced when I was 25. And so I was left with a ton of debt. I was completely alone, and I had like no financial footing at all. And I ended up having to move into a really sketchy apartment because that's all I could afford. And there was a drive-by shooting one night right outside my door, and I was like, I am getting my act together. I have to get out of debt, and I have to move and, you know, build a better life for myself. So that's what did it. I have a background in accounting, so I'd always been smart with my money, but I'd never, like, I was always one of those people that made good income but lived paycheck to paycheck. That propelled me to finally, you know, create an emergency fund and have a debt plan and not live on credit cards anymore.
So what can you teach other people out there who are living paycheck to paycheck, and when they tell you that I don't have extra money to save?
For me, I had to start paying myself first. So after, like, you know, you pay all your bills, you put a savings or a debt repayment at the top, whatever that is, and you pay yourself as if it's a bill. For me, what it really took was not viewing the credit cards as an extension of my income. So put them away and start living off of a debit card, cash, automatic withdrawals from your checking account to pay bills. That's what I started doing.
Now that you're debt-free, how's life different?
It's actually really different in my mindset. I viewed getting out of debt and being debt-free as the end goal, which of course it's not. It's to create a life that you want to live. And then also, like Lewis was saying, that money can help fuel that life.
Carrie, what's your next big goal? What are you focused on now?
I have an account that I set aside called The Vault. So money goes in, but it does not come out. And in next summer, I'm planning to go live in a couple different states down the coast, San Francisco, up to Seattle, and just enjoy the summer drive.
Great. Well, Carrie, it's such a good story. Thank you so much for sharing it with us.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Yes.
Thank you.
Carrie Smith authors the blog Careful Sense. And Lewis, what do you think? What takeaways from
well,
this?
Well, I looked up the word financial responsibility in the dictionary, and Carrie's picture is right there. I mean, seriously, she is someone that people need to look up to and figure out that it can be done. There's so many people out there who feel hopeless when it comes to living paycheck to paycheck, but it just requires a certain level of focus. And everything she said about paying herself first, those are just basic stuff that we've probably been talking about in the show for the last month, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if we can just focus on the basics, people can live a much better life and not be slaves to debt.
Lewis Barajas is a financial advisor and the author of several books, including My Street Money, a street-level view of managing your money from the heart to the bank. Thanks again.
Thank you, Adrian.